I could not help but notice, as I guess I could say almost on every holy day of obligation, how, generally speaking, in this country, things go on as usual. We perhaps are unmindful of it. We presume that it is supposed to be this way because we live in a formerly Protestant country, now practically atheistic. And so we presume that, well, what are we to expect? People are not Catholic, and they are not going to celebrate the Ascension, which is a Catholic feast day. Well, this is not what we ought to expect, because Jesus is God. Jesus, we would not refer to as a Catholic. Everyone should conform his life to the life of our Lord, he being God. And as you know, and as we remarked, Ascension Day, this was a very great day in the life of Christ when he went to heaven, entered into his glory, and was crowned the King of the universe. It is not logical that on this day men go about their business as if it does not concern them, because nothing that has to do with our Lord but should concern them. And the fact that it does not shows the condition of their souls and of their lives. As I was coming to the chapel in the evening to have Mass the second time, I could not help but say that within myself as I observed how the cars were moving this way and that. People were, as I say, going about their business. And the only question that came to my mind concerning the Ascension was, well, who cares? Among all the people, who cares? And this being the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I could not help but remark that he cares that so few do. And this is something that could not help but amaze him, that he who could love all men so much, who could do more for anyone and did it, should be so neglected and treated as if he were simply a Sunday obligation. He is someone who has to receive a modicum of attention simply because one dares not, or one is in the habit of allowing him something of one's life. This generally is the aspect which our country presents to him. It does not behoove us simply to slam Protestantism, but you cannot help but notice that in any place where Protestantism prevails, there is no sign of Christ anywhere except in the churches generally. Christ is more or less confined to the churches, and likewise, he is confined to the lives of people when they're in church. They do not make visible expressions of it, generally speaking. They do not write Christianity in their constitutions. They do not insist that the laws protect his honor and worship him. In what would be called a Protestant country, if Protestantism allowed this, there should be much of what we would describe as Catholic about the aspect and about the public life of that country. But this does not concern us so much. What concerns us is the fact that so few Catholics care. And what should concern us even more so is how much we care. For instance, how much difference does it make that so few people nowadays adhere to his laws, or truly love him. And this is the heart of the matter. Remember that Jesus is such a formidable person and so important that it makes no sense for any man to live and not to devote himself totally to Christ. The Curé d'Ars made the comment that the only tragedy is not to be a saint, and the only life is saintliness. Now consider the way we are. We are, many of us, more Protestant than Catholic, in that we want to compartmentalize our lives so that Jesus has only so much of our time and attention, and that is, you might say, the toll we pay in order to live in his world and to go our own way most of the time. We desire that if we conform to a certain extent, well, then he will leave us alone. So long as we stay in certain bounds, well, then we can be our selfish selves, and we can try to suit ourselves, and we can prove to the world that we don't have to be out of step, nor confined, nor too greatly restrained by both serving him and having our way. This is the aspect that the Church in many places gives Protestants and others, that you can be a Catholic and still be an American, or you can be a Catholic and still be one of the boys, or you can be a Catholic and still have a gay time. You can be a Catholic and you can drink, and you can gamble, and you can just have you can just have as good a time as almost anybody, within certain limits. This is not the faith. No more than our Lord had any time off from saving us. No more than he ever said anything that was not calculated to bring us closer to him. No more than he was two persons in one. No more than any word that ever fell from his lips was the word of God. I am, of course, and I'm sure you grown-ups are, very concerned about the fact that we have a hard time imparting this idea to our young people. It would seem that our young people, because they are being drenched with the idea that they are important. Now remember, I'm not here scolding young people. I'm talking about what other grown-ups are telling them and are indicating to them and are transfusing them with. The idea that they deserve to have a good time. I cannot help but notice, for instance, the advertisement that McDonald's has in a jingle form, "You deserve a break today." Everybody thinks he deserves a break. Everybody thinks he has a right to get off out of the harness. Everybody thinks that so long as he does his duty a certain number of hours or fills his deadlines or conforms to a limit, well, then all his other time is his, and it is not so. You have nothing of your own if you would be his. If you are truly baptized, you belong to him. And I do not tell you anything that is horrendous or fearful. I tell you something that is the very secret of all happiness. I remember, and you'll pardon this reference, when I was in high school, this was the question that kept coming to my mind and which they kept speaking about. Do you want to be happy? And it would seem that young people truly do. This, it would seem, is something that they want very much. They want to be happy. And they're not happy yet. And they wonder whether when they get older, they will be. And they look at grown-ups and they say, well, they must not be. They do not seem to be. They do not live as if they are. And so young people wonder, will I be happy when I get big or older? And I can tell you in no uncertain terms that you will be happy to the extent that you live. Those who live for themselves are dead. Those who are partially his are only partially alive. to the extent that you are all his, you are fully awake. You are fully conscious. Every moment is worth something, is precious to you, and is precious to him. So I tell all of you, and I don't say this on my authority, I say what you already know. To the extent that you give everything to him, to the extent that you seek him every moment of your lives, will you possess him and will you possess life? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is the way by which we acquire truth. One cannot be happy except by the possession of the truth and living in conformance with it. And to the extent that you live according to truth, you possess his grace, which is himself, which is his life. If you would be happy, therefore, you must see him every waking moment. Anything that you do which is not according to his will is time wasted, is ruin for your soul, and is going backward into the world again, into the clutches of Satan, into your own narrow confines. And to the extent that you surrender to him, to the extent that you get to know him, who is the truth, to that extent will you live, and that is true happiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.